The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, I'm back. Thank you so much to Doug Hughes and Jim Inman Jr. for being in the hot seat last week as our friend Max from First Eagle gave you a schooling on gold and silver, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, or does it really matter if things are where they are when it comes to those precious metals. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, it's an incredible show. They covered it, great material. Doug said, of course, it's the best show of the year. I don't know about that, but it's pretty darn close. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, please go to WGCLradio.com. Go to Your Money with David Hayes. Go down and listen to it from last week, or you can always pick it up wherever you pick up your favorite podcast as well. But happy to be back. Had a good day today. It's Thursday on this beautiful, soon-to-be, hopefully better Thursday. It's been kind of a dreary week. Got Ed Slott meeting next week. I'll be in Austin, Texas. I'll be there on Wednesday through Saturday for the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Meeting, our first one since the Big Beautiful Bill Act passed back on July 4th. Of course, we get daily and sometimes, well, weekly and sometimes daily emails from Ed's group on updates on what's going on. So excited about doing that. We had a trunk or treat last night. Thank you to Whipper Hill for hosting that with Jenny's Daycare, which we've kind of sponsored for the last several years back in the COVID days when no one wanted to trick-or-treat for a bit. We had a big trunk-or-treat at my office in the field. Well, it was kind of rainy on Wednesday night, so the gracious people over at Whipper Hill, if you need a wedding venue, it's outstanding. Go out there and visit them. They hosted, and they moved everything out of the way for a wedding they had set up for Saturday for this trunk-or-treat, and it was great. Everyone brought their stuff in. The kids came in, tons of kids. I was Donald Duck. My family did the Disney, what do they call that, whatever it is, Mickey Mouse. You would know if I told you, but anyway, I just know I was Donald Duck. My wife was Minnie, my son was Mickey, and we had a whole big setup there of fun stuff. So it was a lot of fun. Met with Erin Houshin last week, our congresswoman, and it was fun. I mean, I of course covered daylight savings time again, and I don't know. We'll see. I mean, when we fall back this time, could it be for the very last time? We'll see. We'll see. Also covered the 45-year mortgage again and the rationale behind that. I think there could be some momentum on that as well. So I'm going to keep on these folks because it takes just one person to bring up one really good idea, get a few more people behind them. Next thing you know, it's in a committee. It comes out of committee. I mean, you know how a bill becomes a law. It doesn't even have to become a law. It just has to become something. But we had some ideas on, and she had some ideas on Social Security. She said after the midterm elections, that's the next thing that will be tackled, will be Social Security. So the cool thing was she had asked me some ideas and what the American people, at least my clients, would take, what they wouldn't take when it came to changes with Social Security. So I told her about my Ed Slott meeting next week, some of the biggest and brightest advisors in the entire country. And I emailed Ed's group and said, hey, if we have a time for a mini breakout, I wouldn't mind getting 8 or 10 advisors in a room for a think tank for about 3 hours to go over what we think would be a great solution to create the solvency of Social Security, not just in the next 10 years, but for a long, 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 long time. So we're going to put together a lot of things. One thing interesting, she said, you know, Medicare is means tested, right? The more income that you have, the more you pay for Medicare. So that's basically a means test. She asked me about Social Security. Would it fly for us to means test for Social Security? And I said, no, it would not. Because what you don't, they know, people paid into it. I don't care if you have $1 million a year of income. I paid into this sucker for 35 years. I want it. Now, there may be a few people out there that say, no, I'm fine not taking it to keep it, you know, viable. But no, but that's what she wanted me to do. What can we get through? What can we not get through? What will people take? What will they be mad about? And let's get this thing fixed. So I think in the next couple of years, we'll have some decent legislation come through and have a fix for Social Security. Oh, by the way, did you see that Social Security Administration recipients are now going to get a 2.8% boost in their monthly benefits? Social Security Administration announced Friday, even we're in the 30th day of the government shutdown. I think 31 was the longest. I don't know. We may beat the record here. Larger than the 2.5 cost of living adjustments that they got this year. A little smaller than people obviously would hope. They always want big ones. Back in 22, we had 8.7% increase. That was a big one, but that was sort of an anomaly for sure. The average cost of health plan insurance, is now $27,000 a year per family. Higher spending on chronic diseases, weight loss drugs, that's a big one, right? Everyone's on the shot. And hospital bills help drive the increase. I mean, everyone knows this, right? That's another area I would love to have someone fix, is that it's out of control. A lot of it I don't understand at all, but it's just a bad deal. Inflation picked up to 3% in September. Annual inflation picked up slightly in September as consumers continued to feel the strain from rising prices. Consumer prices rose 3% in September from a year earlier. The Labor Department said Friday, someone's working, hotter than August's increase of 2.9%. Of course, the Fed cut rates. They cut rates a quarter. We thought they would. We're going to have Hot Rod on in just a little bit to talk about what happened, what they said, what we see is going to happen in the future. And, you know, they didn't make a lot of hoopla out of it. I went back to his office and said they cut rates half a quarter point. Yeah. What's the market doing? Not really anything. Everyone expected it to happen. It did happen. And that's what's going on. So we're going to get him on to talk about all of that and more. So why don't we take a break? Thank you to Lance Lyke and the Lyke Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Give my buddy Lance a call at the Lyke Law Group, 812-323-8300. We'll be right back with What's Hot and What's Not with Hot Rod Holloway from CFCI. Hey, it's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Hope you had a great week so far. If you miss any of the show on this Thursday night airing, which I know many of you do, 6 o'clock on Thursday night, not the most convenient time unless you're running around town. You can always catch it on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on WGCLradio.com. And after the Thursday night airing, it magically appears in the world of podcasts. Let's talk a little bit about last week first, then we have Hot Rod on the phone. Stocks rose last week thanks to a full slate of upbeat third quarter earning results and mild inflation data, which helped soften concerns over trade tensions with China. Oh, by the way, I was up last night around 10:30 watching the live feed of Xi and Trump coming in together, and it was kind of, I haven't really paid attention to what came out of that meeting. We're going to see what Rod knows about that in a little bit. But the S&P was up, NASDAQ was up, Dow was up. Stocks rose out of the gate as optimism has returned, or did return, to the market. Strength in the tech sector, of course, and whispers of any government shutdown ending soon pushed all three averages higher. But the strong start turned mixed as some pressure on mega cap tech stocks pulled the NASDAQ down, while some tech stocks regrouped. Attention shifted to the Dow Jones Industrial, which hit a record intraday high of 47,000. Harry Dent finally was right, and a record close as well. Sentiment soured midweek as weaker than expected earnings from two of those big mega cap tech companies dragged down technology names, came under further pressure following news that the administration was considering restrictions on U.S.-made software in China, blah, 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 back and forth. News on Friday that inflation rose more slowly than expected, boosted than the averages to end the week on a high. And then, of course, Rod, the Fed met this week, did what we expected them to do. And the question isn't always what did they do, but what did they say we're going to do going forward. Rod Holloway, we're going to do the What's Hot and What's Not segment at the end of this, Rod, so be prepared for that, as I know all you right. Always will be. You're good on your feet. But, yeah, let's talk a little bit about what's happened this week so far. Of course, Fed was all the news.
Yeah, sure. So you talked a little bit about the Fed. We'll address that first. Obviously, they did what we expected. The only thing that was maybe a little bit unexpected was the Fed basically said, hey, we're not on a set path to decrease rates, and December isn't a given of a 25 basis point cut. Now, the market is basically priced in both this month's cut and another cut in December. Simply the fact that the Fed say that it's not already baked in or it's not set in stone, that shouldn't really shock anybody, and I don't know that it really rattled the market in any way. Once again, I've talked a lot about this on Glass. When you're setting at new all-time highs or you're hovering around new all-time highs, that typically people can look for an excuse to take a little bit of profit off the table. You know, they get the fear of missing out on continued gain, so they may not take those profits just simply because the profits are there. They may look for a headline that says, ooh, maybe this will spook the market a little bit. And maybe that's what you had yesterday of the Fed acknowledging that the December rate cut isn't a given. They'll be data dependent. I mean, that's what I heard some of the economists this morning talking about yesterday's speech was, well, aren't they always data dependent? So is that really a big change? And as you alluded to, it's simply a change because his language changed, and we try and interpret what the language means. I remember back when Greenspan was it, you know, they used to analyze the thickness of the briefcase he was carrying into the meeting. they would analyze which specific adjectives were used to try and determine, you know, what that specific adjective really meant. The reality is they're going to evaluate the data. And if the data continues to be what it has looked like here so far this year, in which you have a solid jobs economy that has a little softness in it, and inflation that at least isn't creeping up, it may not be moving to the target as quickly as wanted, but it's also not reversing and going in the opposite direction, then, yeah, you can probably expect that we'll see another 25 basis point cut in the month of December. Whether it comes in December or it doesn't come until 2026, I don't think is going to be a huge burden on the market itself, because while I think that we are in restrictive territory, I think the performance of the economy, while the rates were higher, have shown us they never were as restrictive as what they probably would have been within the marketplace.
Right. I'm not sure if you can hear all the construction going on behind me. Can you hear that, Rod?
I can't hear the buzz.
Jeez. All right. Well, we're in a war zone. They're remodeling the WGCL and the Quarry radio station to accommodate the smaller physical presence of people, and I'm caught in the middle of it as we're doing this. So anyway, so I apologize. Hopefully you can hear us over the chaos as well. So, Rod, I mean, when you think about, like, Amazon laying off 14,000 corporate workers, plans to cut jobs, another 30,000 jobs, or roughly 10% of the online giant's white-collar workforce. I mean, I don't know how we want to put this, but the average American worker obviously has changed over our nearly 250 years in existence, but it seems to be changing more and more rapidly now, and I don't know that we're quite ready for the quick change. Most of these changes happen slower. Right. Even when you look at the adoption of the internet as an example,
yep.
It took a good while for that ever, you know, to really get adopted. But this technology, robots and AI, and I mean, it's moving so fast that I'm not sure we're ready for it. I mean, the Fed's got to have their eye on that. Like, wait a second. Amazon's laying off this many people.
Don't think we're ready for everything that comes with it, especially on the AI side of things. You know, there's still a lot of weird quirks and things within AI that while it is a great service and a great tool, it's not always extremely accurate. But yeah, I think that what people, especially for the younger crowd, what they have to truly be evaluating is the job market's going to shift in the future. I mean, Amazon, I know they're laying them off, and I haven't heard a great detail of who all is being laid off and why, but you have to expect that here in the near future, you're going to start seeing some layoffs simply because of AI and its capabilities and companies being able to utilize those capabilities to minimize their workforce. Because guess what? You don't have to pay AI health insurance premiums. You don't have to pay, do a match on AI for the 401k. So it saves you some. AI also doesn't take days off work when they're sick. So you're going to see that But at the same time, there are other opportunities that will be created within the economy. It's not going to be purely when these set of jobs go away, there's no new jobs being created. Well, yeah, guess what? We're going to need people to work on robots. We're going to need people to implement or further enhance the AI capabilities and what all it's capable of doing. But it most certainly is filtering through everything. We talked a little bit about it, the NVIDIA conference that was earlier this week, and the announcements coming out of that. And it was across the board, multiple different sectors. It wasn't just technology companies. It was healthcare companies. It was industrial companies. It was all across the board that are partnering up with companies like NVIDIA and AI to utilize that to further enhance and increase productivity for them, because that's one of the best ways to offset what you're dealing with in inflationary costs, whether it is due to tariffs or just the price of raw materials going up. Doesn't matter. If you can create more productivity and enhance the work that you do utilizing this technology, that's most certainly what you're going to do to offset those increased costs.
So you need people to fix robots until robots fix the robots, right? That's when the R2-D2, they get in, get them all going again. So, yeah, it's just a quick evolving world that we're in, and, you know, it's pretty exciting and scary maybe for some at the same time, but just keep yourself vigilant, keep your head on a swivel, see where the opportunities are, and go for it. Rod, I know we're at that point where I wanted to put you on the spot with our it's like the is Paul in, Paul out, if you're an ESPN guy like I am on Sunday mornings. What's hot and what's not with Hot Rod Holloway. So let's start with what's hot, Hot Rod?
Yeah, so what's hot, at least within the marketplace, still kind of what has been hot. It's information technology. It's communication services. Year to date, those sectors are up 31%. And 29%. But more importantly, what's hot since the last time we spoke, you know, in the last 3 months, information technology up 16%, communication services up 16.5% in that. The next closest one would be the healthcare sector, up 7.23% for the last 3 months. So that within the financial markets, that's what's hot here recently. Hey, in the sports world, what's hot? The Indianapolis Colts and Danny Jones, that's what's hot. I mean, here's a quarterback left for dead with the Giants. Everybody said he's awful. He can't play the game. All the Colts fans were up in arms when he's brought in. What are you doing bringing this guy in? He isn't going to make us any better. Then you replace Richardson as the starter with him, and they're up in arms even more. Like, what are we doing drafting this guy, and we're not playing him? And here, lo and behold, I think the last time I saw the power rankings, I think the Colts are second or third in the power rankings in the NFL. Now, a long way to go, but hey, most certainly they're sitting at the top of the NFL with the best record in football, leading their own division. So you got to say, hey, they're definitely part of what's hot right now. And of course, we can't leave the Indiana Hoosier football team out, because they continue to be hot as they've been hot all season long, and they stayed hot as they went out and put a whooping on UCLA, who some thought maybe was going to be that trap game that we were looking too far ahead and UCLA was going to sneak up and bite us, as they had won 3 games since replacing their coaches. Nope, didn't happen. 56-6. It was never in any doubt. Just put it to them right from the get-go and showed them, yep, you guys may be playing better football, but you're still not ready to compete with us.
I'm not ready for you to be a Colts fan, Rod, because if that happens, we'll have the Dolphin curse over our heads. So I'm going to move on.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry. I'm not a Colts fan, but I'm a realist, and I can acknowledge that they're playing really good football right
all
now.
All right, so that's what's hot, not only in the economic world, but also the sports world. And we're going to now move on to Hot Rod. What's not hot?
Yeah, well, what's not in the financial world in the last 3 months, that would be consumer staples down almost 4% and real estate down a little over 4.5% in the last 3 months. So those two sectors are probably a little more interest rate sensitive, a little more sensitive to the jobs market as far as those types of things go. Consumer staples, obviously, that's not a growth sector anyway. That's the
right
type of stuff that – good economy, bad economy, people just go out and they buy their shampoo and they buy their laundry detergent and their paper towels and toilet paper and those types of things. So to see that it's something that's not hot isn't a huge surprise. Real estate is one that maybe catches some people off guard, because obviously as interest rates are slowly ticking their way down, you would think there'd be a bit of an uptick in the real estate market there. But a lot of that, I think, has more to do with supply that is holding things back than it is just purely interest rates, although interest rates most certainly have a big impact in that. In the sports world, unfortunately, I'm going to have to say the Indiana Pacers are what's not hot right now.
Yeah, no one expected them to be.
In the NBA so far. Granted, they're playing without their leader, but there's still some really good ball players left, and not that I expect them to have the same success that they would have if they weren't dealing with those injuries. But you would think they'd be able to pull off a victory or two and at least be competitive, even though they are missing their top scorer from last year. And obviously the leader, I think, of the team as far as the fan base is concerned. And as he went, the rest of the team went. Although obviously great supporting cast, and he most certainly did not do it on his own.
Well, what was cool to see is the kid from North, Will, do four innings in the World Series and get the win. That's pretty darn cool, especially
get the win. And he wasn't even part of that World Series roster when it first started, so he got called up during the World Series. So there was the possibility he wasn't going to touch the mound at all. And then not only does he touch the mound, he finishes that 18-inning game and gets the win for the Dodgers. I think that's a great story for the local kid, Will Klein. I joked with Glass that I taught him a good part of what he knows, because I coached him in fall ball one year. But I also made it very clear, no, at that point in time, he was purely a catcher. He wasn't a pitcher. I didn't teach him anything whatsoever other than put him in for the innings he needed to play and take him out when it was time for someone else to go in there and play. But I really enjoyed, coaching and being around him, because he's a great kid from a great family, and I really think it's great the success that he is having in the big leagues.
Well, I'm sure as the president of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, when he turns 30 years old, he'll be a first rounder at the Hall of Fame here in Monroe County. Hey, I'll have to give you more credit for taking Will to the big leagues than my credit for Jared Jeffries when I was basically playing capture the flag with him at a Boys and Girls Club camp. And, of course, that led to his success in sports down the road, too. So I'm going to give you that one, Rod. I'll give you that one over the Jared Jeffries camp counselor.
As time passes, our stories of how much we help these young kids can evolve and grow into being something far larger, especially once we have grandkids or potentially great-grandkids, the great stories we're going to be able to sit down and tell how we helped make this kid into a pro. They won't know. Our great-grandkids won't know any different, Dave.
Well, if you keep saying it long enough, because ChatGPT is based on consensus, that eventually if everyone believes it, ChatGPT will too, and then they'll look that up and say, look at this. Grandpa Rod was right. After all these years, he was right. All right, Rod, we're going to let you go. I'll see you back at the ranch. Thanks a lot. Here, Rod, in the afternoon with Glass in the afternoon on Big Show Friday. Rod, I'll see you back at the ranch.
Sounds good, Dave. Have a great show.
Thanks, brother. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to be going to the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Group meeting next Wednesday. I have a board lunch, new member meet and greet, and then board dinner that evening on Wednesday. But one of the funny things to me is anytime Ed does a two-day workshop, which is great, and as a founding member, as a member, I can go to any two-day. And I do occasionally go there to refresh, maybe once every 3 or 4 years, on a few things. You always pick up something. But financial professionals across the country joined our group for an intense training on all things IRA-related, including updates on the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. This was a two-day thing on September 17th and 18th. What we found interesting is that more than 400 participants had questions. And it was a virtual thing, and there was a heavy dose of Roth-related inquiries, as well as questions about beneficiary accounts, Trump accounts, workplace retirement plans, 529, on and on and on. So I went through, they put together the top 31 questions from financial advisors, and when I was looking at this, I'm like, come on, man. Let's start off some of the good ones first, go to some of the bad ones. I'm gonna be like, come on, man. I'll be right back. With that and more, it's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. You know, it's funny because you go to these meetings, right? And there's 300-400 people in the room. And a lot of them, when you look at them, just by appearance, it's like, dude, you've been in this business a long time. Like, you should know that by now. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying that even advisors, professionals, people that pay money to come to these educational events. Now, a lot of it is great because it's the camaraderie, it's the iron sharpening iron, it's the fact we have access to the greatest technical consultants in the entire country with Ed Slott's team. I'm there basically on my staff. But sometimes these questions come up, and I'll look over at my buddy Marty James, who's probably one of the smartest CPAs I know. He's up in Martinsville, or up in whatever, up off 67. Modern Wealth, you'll see it there on the left. I've known him for 20 years. I'll look at him, I'm like, are you kidding me? They're asking that question. So anyway, Ed had this virtual meeting, two-day class, workshop. I didn't participate in it much, but a little bit. And, you know, and these questions in the chat box, right? And so they're coming, and they're coming, and they're coming. I can see them when I was on there. And I'll be honest, they came up with the top 31 questions from financial advisors. There were over 400 questions asked. You could probably do a better one that said the top 200 worst questions that were asked, or the ones that are like, you don't know that? But out of the 31, I'm like, they couldn't help themselves but to put a few bad ones in. Now, some of these I'm going to say that are bad to me because you should know them. Like, that's like going to a doctor and saying, you mean you didn't know that, doc? Well, this is like a financial advisor. So I might say, do Roth conversions, as an example, count towards your modified adjusted gross income for IRA contribution eligibility? Right? And you're like, wait a second. You're saying if I make a Roth conversion and that counts as income, then now I can also put money into a Roth? Like, that was actually a question someone asked. No, that's a bad question. You have to have earned income. Come on, guys. Now, there was a couple good ones here as well. What is the sweet spot or sweet age for a window to do Roth conversions? And the answer was, I mean, that's a good one. What's the sweet spot? Well, the sweet spot is typically before required minimum distribution age, right? Especially if you're like 59 or 60, do them all the way up to maybe 75. That was a good one. A pretty good one. Can Roth IRA contributions still be recharacterized? What about conversions? Well, a contribution certainly can, because when you put money in and maybe you shouldn't have put money in, you have to reverse that out. But conversions? Are you kidding me? You haven't been able to do Roth conversion recharacterizations forever. That's a pretty good question on one level, but honestly pretty bad on another level too. So I go through the top 31 questions, right? So Ed's group's like, these are the best 31 questions. So I'm like, there's some pretty good ones. Can Roth IRA funds be rolled into a solo Roth 401k? That's a good one, because the answer is actually no. Roth IRA dollars cannot be rolled into a Roth 401k. But interestingly enough, IRA funds can be rolled into a 401k, traditional IRA. So that's a pretty good question. Are mandatory Roth catch-up contributions in 2026 based on prior year wages with the current employer? That's a good one, right? Because it's like, okay, how do I know? Well, people always know when you max out, your payroll stops putting money in, or whatever. So that's actually a great question. Not even a good question. That's a great question. The answer is yes. The mandatory Roth catch-up contributions for 401ks, 403bs, 457 plans, all that kind of stuff for participants who earn more than $145,000 is based on prior year. But then they have a look-back rule, right, as well. So anyway, this is kind of complicated, but I thought that was a great question as well. This one's kind of bad. Are required minimum distributions ever required on an inherited Roth IRA? Actually, that's a really terrible question. Why would you not know that there are no required distributions on any Roth, whether it's inherited or not? The only thing that they needed to know is that the money in the Roth still has to be out in 10 years. And that's the beauty of it all, right? That they get to take no RMDs. Even when it's inherited, still has to be out in 10 years, but it still grows tax-free for 10 years. That's the beauty. So I actually listed that one as kind of bad. This one I list is terrible. If someone delays their first IRA RMD until April 1st of the following year, must they take two distributions that year? Are you kidding me? That one's a terrible. Yes, of course you do. That's like 101 in financial advisory world. Yeah, you can delay it till April 1st of the following year. Why would you do that? Well, maybe I have a bunch of income, right? And I'm retiring the year I turn 73 or whatever. So yeah, I may push it off to next year. Yes, you have to take two. That one was terrible. And I went through, you know, and just listed the 31 as bad, terrible, okay, good, And, you know, I mean, here's a good one. It's a good question. Does changing a 529 plan beneficiary reset the 15-year rule or clock for a 529 to Roth rollover? That's a really good question because no one even knows. Unfortunately, the IRS has not provided any guidance here yet. That's a good question. Okay question. If an IRA owner dies before taking his RMD for the year, must the descendant's RMD still be taken, and who takes it? Of course it has to be taken. That's actually something that you should know, but it's an okay question because not everybody knows that. And then who has to take it? Well, it kind of depends. Anyone can who's on the beneficiary form. Normally it's taken in pro rata form. If it's in a trust, that's a little more complicated. It's the oldest beneficiary and blah, blah, blah. Here's a bad one, and I'll leave you with this one. Maybe I'll leave you on a good one. I don't know. I don't want our community of financial advisors to not seem up to speed. But the reality of it is, here's what Ed says. This isn't me. This is Ed. Ed says that when you join his group, learn what 99% of advisors in this country do not know. And then he'll tell you, in his way, not my way, he'll say, but I think I'm being too generous. And this was really, really funny. But in reality, he might not be too generous. I don't know. Can a surviving spouse first maintain an inherited IRA and then later do a spousal rollover? Of course. That's the entire part of, like, if your husband dies and you're, like, you know, 56 years old, don't make it your own IRA, but then you're subject to the 59.5 rule. Keep it as an inherited IRA. You can take distributions as you need them. Then when you get to 59.5, you can flip it to your own IRA, and then you would follow the rules for your IRA. That every financial advisor, if they don't know that, should know that. That's a simple one. That's why I listed it as bad. All right, let me give you one good one. All right, I got to flip two pages to find it. Let's see which one. I'll do this one. Gosh. That's a bad one. I'm not going to leave you on that. I don't want to leave a bad taste in your mouth for financial advisors in this country. But anyway, do plan to IRA rollovers count against the one? This is a good question. Do plan to IRA rollovers count against the one-year IRA to IRA rollover limit? That's a really good question. Maybe a great question. I don't know. The answer is no. Of course, the once-per-year IRA rule only applies to 60-day rollovers between IRAs. It does not apply to rollovers from plans to IRAs or IRAs to plans. There you go. Back to that earlier question. It does not apply to Roth IRA conversions. You got it? That's a good one. Listen, there's so many of them here. If you go to irahelp.com, irahelp.com, anyone can go there. You don't have to subscribe or whatever. Go to the frequently asked questions if you're a nerd like me and look at them. There's some really good ones in there. In fact, most of the ones that Sarah and the team put up are good ones. These are 31 of the top questions asked. They thought these were all good questions. I went through it, and I beg to differ. All right. When we come back, our friend David McKnight, who's going to be on the show early December, the Power of Zero author, best-selling author, will be on. But he's been taking Dave Ramsey to task on a few things, and he talks about, in his latest podcast, why Dave Ramsey's Roth conversion advice could cost you a fortune. And I wish I could say, come on, Dave Ramsey. Or I'm sorry, Dave McKnight, back off old Ramsey. Leave him alone, but he's right. I'll be right back. Just tell you why. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. How are you doing? I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. All right, we're going to talk about this because, David McKnight will be on my show early December. Looking forward to that. But he's been getting kind of, I don't know how you want to put this, but he's been taking aim at folks all the time that are very well-known media types. And this time it's Dave Ramsey, and he's been on him about a couple of different topics. Things like only buying term insurance always. Or, you can average 8% on your investments, and you can take 8% in retirement. That one's not right. But now he comes up with this one, why Dave Ramsey's Roth conversion advice could cost you a fortune. Now, I'll be honest. I'm usually pretty busy when Dave Ramsey's show is going on, but occasionally when I jump in the car, around that late morning time frame, I'm driving to somewhere, I'll flip it on. I'm dedicated to the station. I listen to Sterling in the morning. I listen to Glass in the afternoon. I don't listen to Your Money with David Hayes. I'll leave that up to you guys. But he's right here. McKnight's right. Dave Ramsey is focusing on the wrong thing when it comes to his Roth conversion advice. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Let me just kind of flip to this just for a second. So Dave Ramsey says that, at least on his website, it states, when it comes to Roth conversion, it could be the right call for you. If your timeline to retirement is more than 5 years away, the money you convert into a Roth IRA must stay there for 5 years, period. If you withdraw money before the five-year period, you may pay tax of 10% penalty or additional income taxes. So Dave Ramsey clearly states that if you're within 5 years of retirement or already retired, you should forego doing Roth conversions completely. Why? Because of the so-called five-year rule? But here's the problem. He's completely misinterpreting what the rule actually means. He's actually confusing multiple rules, applying them to wrong people, and encouraging retirees to make choices that could cost them a fortune in taxes over time. So let's get the record straight. There are two different types of five-year rules when it comes to Roth IRAs and Roth conversions. The first applies to Roth earnings. You must wait 5 years or until you're 59 and a half, whichever is later, before you can withdraw earnings tax-free. The second applies to Roth conversion holding periods. If you're younger than 59 and a half, you have to wait 5 years before withdrawing the converted amount penalty-free. But here's the kicker. If you're over 59 and a half, who cares? The five-year Roth conversion holding period does not apply to you at all. Why? Because the 10% penalty is strictly for pre-59 and a half people. It doesn't apply to people 59 and a half or older. You can access converted dollars immediately if you're over that age, without taxes, without penalties, without anything. So when Dave Ramsey says don't do a Roth conversion in retirement or within 5 years of retiring, he's not right on that one. And giving out advice like that simply is not correct. And I would say with the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill Act, you may very well not want to do as big Roth conversions when you're pre-retiree, but wait till you're after you're retired because you can control your income better. You've got a runway until maybe 75, a lot of stuff. So not trying to beat down an old Dave's does wonders for people in helping them understand how to manage money, manage their debt, manage their cash flows, relationships, all that. But there's about two or three things that I would go toe-to-toe with Dave. Now, he's a little more persuasive maybe than I am, but I'm just more about the math. Let's take a quick break, come back, and try to continue on with this wonderful, wonderful show. I'm going to talk about how to avoid taxes on some sale of real estate, or maybe you should just pay the tax and be done. This obviously, I opened a can of worms when I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. So I've been trying to get a lot in a little bit of time, but that's the way it normally is. Whenever you're limited time, you can never be over-prepared, right? You can be under-prepared, and I've shown up under-prepared before, but I try to over-prepare so that I'm never out of material. But here's the thing. I must have opened a small can of worms a couple of weeks ago on how to avoid paying tax when selling, remember, avoid paying tax when selling a business or real estate. So the question has come up no less than five times in 2 weeks on how to do it. Does it make sense to do it? Why I should do it? Well, here's the thing. It has come up a lot, and it really just depends. Like in one case, someone had owned three pieces of real estate, and they're like, well, I'm tired of managing this stuff. It's rentals. I'm tired of managing. I'm just going to sell them. And we did the math, and we're like, well, that's a lot of tax. What can I do? Well, you can do a 1031 exchange. What's that mean? You exchange it into more real estate. Well, I don't want to own more real estate. I want to get out of real estate. Then let's think about selling it and just paying the tax versus maybe hiring someone else to manage it. Because if you're going to hire someone else, it might cost you 8% a year to manage it, but you're still going to collect money. And we coached him through that. And it's like, yeah, here, I've got a great property manager for you. And I referred him on, and he's happier than a pig in mud. On the other hand, let's say I have a client who is literally almost 90. The wife had passed away. My client is still alive. His nephew is kind of handling the affairs. And he comes to me and says, hey, I think I want to get rid of their real estate. It's being managed by someone else. I'm like, why? He goes, well, I'm just trying to clean up their stuff, make it easier. Don't do that. I said, here's the thing, because he's 90 years old. He bought that stuff in the 60s. You would have huge capital gains, recapture depreciation, all this stuff. Remember, stepped up cost basis. So when this person passes away, which he's not in good health, then that real estate gets a stepped up cost basis. You guys can sell it in the estate, pay no tax, distribute it out to the heirs, and you're golden. So don't do that. Don't sell it. And there are other times where it makes sense to do a 1031 exchange. A person's selling a lot down south and they just want to buy another lot. Perfect. Do a 1031 tax-free exchange. You just keep swapping. But in reality, reality is that our tax rates right now are very, very low. And if you've not owned something for a really long time and have a lot of depreciation to recapture, remember, in many cases, you pay zero tax on long term, then you pay 15% on a bunch, and it's marginalized like our old tax system is saying, okay, next dollar, capital gains work the same way. Especially if that's the only income you have, you could potentially not pay if you're married filing joint up to about $120,000 of your gain tax free before you pay the first dollar at 15. So it's got to be talked through, got to be kicked around and understood. So again, for me to blanketly say this is what you should always do, I would always argue that you should never say that. You should never say this is what you should always do. So those of you that think that I say that everybody should convert everything they have to a Roth IRA, I don't mean that. In fact, I could argue why you shouldn't convert to a Roth as well. So those of you that listen and have emailed about, hey, not Roths aren't great for everybody, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But I do have a quick write-up that if anyone wants it on 1031 exchanges versus paying the tax, I did an analysis into what things to consider. I'd be happy to share it with you. Anyway, that's it. I'm going to take a quick break, come back, and wrap it up. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, I'm slowing down. I'm wore out. I've been talking fast because I have a lot to talk about today. Rod did a great job, of course, in the What's Hot, What's Not segment, and I didn't know he was going to throw in the sports sling as well. I'm going to try to, if I can do this, I have football practice tonight at 6 o'clock. That's why we're in here early recording this. Last practice of the season, going out to Memorial Stadium at 2 o'clock on Sunday to hopefully put a whooping on those Lions, you big Titans fans out there, if third and fourth graders. Hopefully that happens. And then I've got to go button up my pontoon to be put in storage for the winter. I got a wedding down in Kentucky for my good friend's daughter who's getting married down there on Saturday. Just a big, big weekend. And I'm glad there's no home football. I'm not sure where I would have fit that in, whether it'd been a IU game or whatever. So it's going to be a fun weekend as always. I hope everyone has a great weekend. I hope everyone enjoys whatever they have going on in their world. And I hope you enjoyed the show. If you miss any of it, you can catch it on, of course, Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Very popular time. Your Money with David Hayes can also be found on many, many podcasts. If you want to subscribe, you can do that. Or, of course, head over to WGCLRadio.com. Bloomington's Voice. You can catch it there as well. Have a great weekend, everyone. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.